Welcome to Countercurrents Radio. I'm your host, Michael Polignano. I'm here today with Countercurrents editor Greg Johnson, and we are speaking with Horace the Avenger, the creator of the very popular and influential Follow the White Rabbit podcast series on whiterabbitradio.net. Horace, how did you get started with the podcasts, and what did you hope to achieve when you started them?
Well, basically, I was originally asked to bring out a podcast by an associate of Bob Whitaker from WhitakerOnline.org. And the podcast itself, we came up with Horace the Avenger's Follow the White Rabbit, and it has done an allegory, meaning I'm a white rabbit, but, you know, we're not really rabbits. We're speaking allegorical terms, obviously. And the objective was, why wasn't Bob successful in getting the little Stormfronters, that's what I call them at least, on a consistent message? What is going on? Because he has a consistent message. He is a professional at writing this. He's done it at the highest levels on this planet. He was involved in the front against communism, even in places like the CIA. Why aren't they getting on message? Why aren't they using his stuff? And we found out some interesting things. One, there was a disconnect in audiences. He's kind of old. Two, he's targeting the wrong audience. Instead of targeting, like we've done, anyone white and normal that happens to be surfing the site, he's trying to target the Stormfronters themselves. And when you get into dissident communities, it doesn't matter whether it's the Soviet dissidents or the pro-white dissidents like yourselves. You're dealing with very individualistic audiences who basically, very individualistic characters who are not prone to go on a consistent message. For various different reasons, they want to develop their own techniques. They want to, it could just be ego. Another leader doesn't want to use his stuff. And so I took a step back, and I basically had a wing at it. I did six podcasts that, I didn't have a website then. This was 6 months before the whiterabbitradio.net, which is my site, came out September 2009. This was 6 months prior to that. We put up six podcasts on WhitakerOnline.org, and it kind of blew up in our faces. Basically, I'm just targeting anyone white and normal that surfs Stormfront, that likes alternative news and research. And the reason we're targeting them is based on our research. They want to fight the New World Order. They are interested in it. The largest, most successful sites in the world outside of white nationalism, because you have a very big asset that's not being deployed against an enemy. Effectively, in our opinion, the largest asset would have been the InfoWars, the Rents.com, which I advertise on as of right now. These are huge, huge websites, the largest in the world, and these people are active in fighting the New World Order. But at the same time, there was a huge missing link. They weren't making it racial. So what I do is I twist everything back to making it racial, basically. It's worked much better than most expected. There's a lot of surfing in between the InfoWars and the Rents.coms, and you'll even find websites like yours and Stormfronts and all the big white nationalist websites. They're looking for answers. They have questions. But no one's ever tried to approach them personally in a way that they would like to hear. So that's what I attempted to do, and only expected to do six, and then we actually ended up getting whiterabbitradio.net, and I've rolled out over 70. And now, of course, we have a subscriber series where we carry on news and views as well as alternative news and research. I cover both ends in separate podcasts called Endgame Exotica, and that's how we've raised capital. We sell digital media besides T-shirts and whatnot, and we've been able to raise capital to support advertising on very expensive sites like Rents.com. That's where we've been, and we're heading into animation.
That's great. That's great. So you've been doing this for about 2.5 years. Where do you get the white rabbit terminology, and where do you get the Horus the Avenger terminology?
Horus the Avenger is pre-dynastic Egypt, and at the time I was asked to do it, it was really just off the top of my head. At the time I was asked to do it, I was reading all about the Hyksos and in Egypt. Our enemy has a big connection to the Hyksos. That's another podcast for Countercurrents. And what I was interested in at the time is not necessarily most of our side, let's call it the white nationalists, paleoconservatives, go into our enemy in the past 300 to 400 years. I've been doing something radically different starting about 10, 15 years ago. I started taking the alternative news and research segments really seriously and going to our enemy way back, what they say. And so at the time I was looking at the Hyksos, and they were driven out of Europe, they were driven out of Egypt. And the Egyptians resurrected this ancient mythos, this ancient allegory of Horus the Avenger killing the red hippopotamus. And I thought it was rather entertaining. So I married the two together. And at the time, the person that asked me to do it, Bob Whitaker, if you know anything, he's big on shortwave radio, and so is this individual. And he was using White Rabbit for something. And so I thought of Follow the White Rabbit of the famous Alice in Wonderland. And that, of course, has ancient links to Europe. You know, it's right now it's very common for any listener to see a white rabbit because they're raised in captivity. But our ancient ancestors did not see white rabbits that often. They were considered a huge omen of good luck simply because they're so rare. An albino white rabbit in the wild is very, very rare. It's like lightning striking. And they were associated with good luck. They were associated with divine intervention. So I just married the two in kind of like tongue in cheek and invented the characters because we have a problem. My listeners know we have a problem with an enemy that looks like us, but they have no loyalty to us. Now, we talk about the Jews, but I segmented into pink rabbits. I don't consider our enemy necessarily non-whites because, you know, who imported them? And most of the alternative news and research realize that there's a problem at the top of Western civilization is white. They know about the Zionism, but I start making moves into that particular area. So I create a dynamic within our race between the white rabbits and the pink rabbits. Little bit different than what most of your listeners would be used to, but it is tailor-made to an audience that is geared for fantasy.
Okay, that brings me to another question, which I think is really interesting. Your focus is on retail politics, staying on message, you know, getting the mantra out there.
Sure.
Yet at the same time, there's a large element of what I've seen in your podcasts and your website that's sort of Jeff Renzi, Art Bellish, and I was just scratching my head thinking, these two things don't seem to fit together. So I want you to explain
sure.
that to me.
You're dealing with an audience that demands two things. There's two things that everyone knows. One, Nazis sell. I take World War II revisionism from a radically different perspective. Two, aliens, that whole entire media genre is huge. It's the biggest thing online. The biggest bulletin boards online are Godlike Productions, much 1,000 times bigger than Stormfront. This thing's the top 1,000 websites in the world or something like that. That's all they're dealing with is aliens, and 90% of the audience is white. I have listeners that believe our enemy is from another world. I can't prove that. You can't disprove it. I don't care about that. I'll engage them on that as long as they're willing to fight under our terms. So I find that the two, shockingly enough, married quite well. We found that if you're not talking about these two topics, and let's face it, the Discovery Channel, the National Geographic Channel, they're getting the same research that we got a hold of. These things sell. These are big, big, big buzzwords. Ancient aliens, all these TV shows. We just married the two together. I just take it from a little bit different perspective. And there's a lot of weird things about our enemy's ancient background and all the crazy stuff they say. So it kind of all goes together some way, shape, manner, or form. But you see, putting a group on a consistent message is incredibly easy. Here's a talking point. When someone calls you a racist, all you say is, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. That's very easy. If you're not on message and you're a Republican, a commentator for the Republican Party going on Fox News, you're going to have talking points. You're not on that. You're fired. That's very easy. We don't have anyone in our employment. We're trying to induce them into using our message. It's called herding cats, actually. That's what old Bob Whitaker calls it. It is the most difficult thing to do. I'm doing it just by accident, basically. Herding cats, every barnyard herds cats differently. You can't herd cats, basically. I just put out the right milk, and here they came, meow, meow, meow. It ended up working very, very well, but I'm talking about what they demand, this audience demands that we talk about to reach them at least. I'm just doing it in a little bit different format, and I'm the only one doing it from a racial perspective, what I call a legitimate white rabbit perspective. And they're not used to hearing race talked about in animals. I'm using an allegory, so it catches them off guard. They're used to a standard type racial banter, if you will, that maybe me or you would respond to. They don't respond to that at all, obviously. But they are on the websites. They are looking for answers. They are asking some interesting questions. So that's what we're doing, basically. Sometimes we're inserting the right questions to be asked. Sometimes we're giving them the answers. And there's all kinds of interesting links on my website that they jump to and whatever else. And obviously, the site is very, very fast growing.
Can you tell us about your growth and your audience? How many people are involved in this? How many people listen to you, what you're saying?
Oh, my. I don't even know the number of terabytes now because we got secondary distributions, but we typically get anywhere from a half terabyte up to a terabyte and a half of downloads of the Follow the White Rabbit series a month. There are about 500, closing in on 600 subscribers to in-game Exotica. Now that is the, it's free and paid. And we've got about closing in on 100 paid. So there, right now on Bug Swarm, which is online activism, we have about the record was 81 activists posting the mantra and reporting it. And there's probably, our enemy would calculate three times that number or something along that line. It's probably double that number posting and reporting. We want 300 online, which doesn't sound like a big number, but that's, it doesn't take a lot of people to get out a message if you have major media assets, and we have that online. I'm here to tell your listeners, you have major media assets, but you can own Fox News like the neocons, but if you're not using it to control the message, you ain't going nowhere. Someone's going to take it from you. So we're using our media to control the message, to control the dialogue, basically. And we're doing it, of course, with a consistent message. The New World Order is all about white rabbit genocide. It's all about our death. It doesn't matter whether you worry about aliens or just, the Jewish neocons. It doesn't really matter which way you take it. That's ultimately what it's about. So fighting it is the most important thing. Under this system, is a very closed system. We model the fight against the system very similar to the fight that Bob participated in against the Soviet Union, which wasn't brought down with bombs and violence. It was brought down with its own contradictions, put to the broken record strategy, which is just repeating a very effective, consistent message over and over again into a populace.
So what is the mantra? I've seen sort of various versions of it, and people even come to countercurrents thinking that we need the mantra ourselves, repeated in our comments threads. But what is the mantra? Can you explain that to us?
I can give it to you. If anyone listening can go to whiterabbitradio.net. I have an about page. It's very thorough. The mantra is done by a beautiful white girl who has about 100,000 views now. Sooner or later, they'll probably take down the video and we'll have to put it up somewhere else. The mantra is simply a consistent message developed by a professional, Robert Whitaker, who's done this at a very high level, taking down our enemy point by point, taking apart their terminology and imposing our new terminology, words like anti-white. And I can read it for you. Would you like to hear it? It's very simple. It's 222 words of an anti-white system killing death. And there's variations of it, but there's one main mantra. Everybody says there's this race problem. Everybody says this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgiums are just as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but no one says that Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote, assimilating, unquote, with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, i.e. intermarry with all these non-whites. What if I said there's this race problem, and this race problem would be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? How long would it take anyone to realize I'm not talking about the race problem, I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem? And how long would it take for any sane black man to notice this, and what kind of psycho black man wouldn't object to this? But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. That is the whole entire consistent message. And I bite down I take the memes into bite size and in the particular podcast. But that is basically the mantra. And I remade it for white rabbit genocide by taking out obviously our race and putting in rabbit holes and white rabbits. And
okay, I recognize lots of different parts of that. So obviously you guys are very effective in circulating that out there. I hadn't heard the whole thing together, though. Let me just raise an objection. Let me play devil's advocate here. Genocide. Don't you think that's a little overly dramatic?
No. We don't define genocide. International law defines genocide. When right now in Tibet, most people listening have heard of Tibetan genocide. They don't understand what it was over. When you force the Chinese flooded the place, flooded Tibet with Chinese, and they were trying to force integrate the Tibetan nomads. That's labeled genocide. In Marin County, California, who's targeted just because they're white, and I know you guys would be up on this news, for forced integration and assimilation under federal law, that's considered progressive policy. These contradictions can only exist as long as we don't point it out. I don't have to prove it. I just have to point it out. The Soviet Union was a workers' paradise that had to have guards at the border to keep people from leaving. Guards with machine guns. That existed as long as no one stood up and said, you know what, why do you have to have a worker's paradise? And if you are a worker's paradise, well, actually, the consistent message was, if you're a worker's paradise, why do you have to have guards at the border to keep people from leaving? They were asking simple memes like this, pointing out the contradictions over and over again. That's what we're doing. We don't define genocide. I would invite anyone that listens to look up genocide, and you'll see that it covers exactly what's going on in white countries and all white countries as done to them by the elite.
That's really good. That's well put. I understand that the UN defines genocide not simply as killing people, but as creating conditions that are inimical to a people's long-term survival.
Yeah.
So genocide can be something slow and subtle and creeping, but if the end of that trend is the extinction of a people, then you're committing genocide, even if you might not have bloody hands at all.
We are using it as a weapon. I don't know exactly where parties are going. A consistent message does not come out by a professional for no reason, you know, especially someone with Bob's credentials. So I don't know where it's going. I'm just doing my particular job. But the consistent message like this is pretty strong language. We're accusing someone of very big crimes. People say that, well, you know, you can't get busted for that and this and all those other things. Saddam Hussein, when you deal with tribunals and international law, it scares the living daylights out of everyone simply because it always catches up with you. Saddam Hussein, it didn't catch up with him for a series of years, but, you know, Saddam Hussein doesn't get to say the Kurds were just a social construct. They hung him, point blank. It has teeth. There's a lot of fear involved in it, but it's the truth. We're just stating the objective truth. And it can exist as long as we're not pointing out the contradictions. In fact, I have an upcoming animation that deals with this contradiction in a very raw way. Everyone white has been conditioned down two different angles, and we are slamming these conditions together in an animation that points out that basically that diversity and multiculturalism are a big scam. And the scam is that it's only in white countries and all white countries, and that's genocide. But we're going about it a radical different way. It's the mantra. It's just the mantra in live motion from something that it would be very unexpected from most of the audience members that'll first see it. But we're doing that right now. But it's a serious issue. It's a big deal. And we're using their own contradictions against them.
So that's very interesting. Horace, tell us about your background, your education, your profession, and how did you get to become a thought criminal and get involved in all of this stuff?
Well, I don't go into my background on the particular podcast, so I'm not going to go into my background here. I never, even in In-Game Exotica, I don't go into my background. I'll do that someday. I have no problems with doing it first on Countercurrents. I don't have anything to hide, but I'm a rabbit. I'm a character. And in what we're doing, we're going to keep it that way for the time being. But obviously I have some knowledge of geopolitics. Anyone that's listened to the podcast, I have some knowledge of geopolitical trends, and I use mainstream news sources to point out things over and over again to the audience to get them out of the current conditioning, that all hope is lost. So obviously I have somewhat of a background in that. Anyone that listens for any length of time is going to realize that, but I don't go into personal issues yet.
We totally understand that. One of the basic rules I always preach about how this movement is going to function well is if we allow everybody to determine his or her own level of explicitness and involvement, and everybody just has to respect those decisions and accept that everyone's got their reason.
Well, there's a great deal of mystery behind the web, behind certain web personalities. For instance, we have a character named Adelheim. We have another famous character named Iceland creator. These are powerhouse performers out there, but no one really knows their names. So we have several different characters like that across the world, and we are keeping it that way for now for a particular reason. We have found with propaganda, especially with what we're doing, there can be a certain advantage to, and when you have something blow up in your face like we have, there can be a certain advantage. Now, obviously, if you went to the Stormfront conference and heard me speak, you'd find out my name and everything else. It's not that big of a deal, but for reasons of the internet, I'm a rabbit.
All right. I totally get that. And I respect that.
I'm curious as to the step-by-step of how you were able to get the podcast advertised. Did you just recruit people from Stormfront initially?
No, I don't ever appeal. We don't ever appeal. That was a failed strategy. We never appeal to other pro-white dissidents. What I did from the beginning is look to attract the audience I want to move our message mainstream. And the way I patterned it is, you know, my audience moved 9/11 truth, whether you like that or not. They move that mainstream in a period of months. They can do that. They can do that with our message. So I look to attract them with sound, with images, with buzzwords. And I did the same thing. I'm just using websites like Countercurrents or Stormfront that are so large that they just happen to be surfing on. That's all I'm doing. I'm using it. They look at a picture and say, wow, what's that white rabbit? I've never seen that before. They're listening to the podcast. They're like, I've never heard anything like this before from white nationalism. That's what we want. We want something radically different, a curveball.
So do you read people like Savitri Devi or Miguel Serrano, some of the people who fuse white racialism with a kind of larger spiritual, mythical, Gnostic worldview?
I haven't read Savitri Devi in years. And Serrano, I've read articles and excerpts by him, but I don't own any of his books, no. What I do read, basically because I have to cover alternative news and research, I read a particular character named Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, who's not what you would think of as a racialist at all. Most of the stuff I read is not racialist. I just try to ferret out what's going on from a racial perspective. That's the type of thing I do. So no, I'm not well read on any of the current publications or anything going on in that regard. But I do think there's a huge, huge market for that. Our race tends to think in cosmic, mystical terms, or at least a huge portion of it does. So I think there's a big attraction to that.
I think it's very valid to try and fuse practical politics with that kind of larger mythological, mythical, allegorical perspective for the reason that you give, that white people are imaginative. And if you don't capture people's imaginations, you're not going to motivate them to act. And so I've always been very critical of the so-called mainstreamers who think that you just have to have a purely political message and not get a little, you know, not say anything that's wild or kind of crazy.
We found that failed. We tried that. It failed. So that's why I did this approach. I did something radically different. But I think it's important to understand that when you have media dominance, sometimes your particular piece should go toward getting your audience to ask a different question or look at a question a different way instead of just trying to pour information on them. One of the challenges with dissidents, pro-white dissidents, or any type of dissident group, is they tend to want to give their whole entire message out immediately. And that's fine if you never get a chance to speak. But when you have media dominance online, you can do a lot of things. In fact, in our first animation, we don't do anything like name our enemy. Most of the characters you see are non-white and white. We're doing an interplay, but what we're going to get the audience to do by watching it, they're going to be asking a question. When you have media dominance and someone can look, who's behind multiculturalism? Who's behind egalitarian? You Google that, immediately you're going to find our stuff. It may not be my stuff or your stuff, but they're going to find Dr. David Duke eventually. We don't have to insult an audience. We have such media power that you don't have to say everything. You can get very creative. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different techniques that could be employed that aren't being deployed. Simply because we are acting like we don't have a platform to speak. You know, you have some of the most dominant websites on the internet. I mean, Stormfront is huge. What you have to do is start segmenting and trying to get creative in getting them to ask the right questions and not giving them all the answers up front, not giving them everything up front. One of the great things about a consistent message is it moves you from defensive to offensive. We found that our race doesn't respond to anything defensive. They want loud. They want fast. They want aggressive. And that can only be done with some type of offense. In this system, it's done with some type of message, some type of core message that attacks. They want simple things for something. You know, our enemy does this very well. They didn't walk in and just start brainwashing white kids. That wasn't all they did. They did something very, very simple every time they did their brainwashing. They did their guilt tripping. They said, if you see anyone not acting acting intolerant or one of their big buzzwords or that doesn't like multiculturalism, all you do is yell racist. They did that. And most of the crowd wouldn't do it. But one kid in the room will do it. Well, we're looking for that one kid willing to stand up on a message and just hammer them. And we're getting them. We're getting them. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking basically to almost undo what they've done.
We're trying to get our website and our particular message out there. We want to make progress. We want to attract listeners, readers, donors, and so forth. What would you recommend that Countercurrents do?
Well, I think the genius of publishing that isn't listened to is someone that's done a lot of mainstream publishing. Not only himself, he under his own name, he's only done a few books, but under other names, he's done a lot of ghostwriting for parties out of Washington, is Bob Whitaker. He's redone, if you look at Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, you look at WhitakerOnline.org, go to the blog, you're going to see every piece is short, very, very short. They're redoing how they're doing. He doesn't believe that book sales will work the same way it did in the past. And so he has a lot of very good opinions about that. I'm not a publisher. I don't practice the art of writing in a conventional sense. I am geared, from listening to Bob's advice, to only writing scripts, which I don't have a background in. It's something we're learning. And of course, there's very few places to learn because everything Hollywood does is unacceptable to me. So, but we are geared for short, fast, aggressive. He believes that's the future. He doesn't think that's going to change. And, I guess there's a great deal to learn from that, because that seems to be working.
I think there's a huge untapped potential in video creation. You talked about what you're doing with animation. And I also noticed on your website the featured video on white genocide. I watched that, and it struck me at first as kind of silly and whatnot, but it stuck in my head.
That is the mantra put to pop music. Now, I thought that song was very irritating when I first heard it, but you got to understand that I have a whole section of my audience as well under 30, some of them under, that's done by someone, I'm guessing he's not 23 years old. I only know him as Johnny White Rabbit. That's all I care about. I don't do any of that. It just comes to my mailbox, and I'm always shocked and stunned. But it's good. They've taken that off YouTube so many times, I don't know what the reasons are. And we just keep putting it back up. It's got thousands upon thousands of views, and then they take it down, and we put it back up. We have several different distribution channels to play this game with them. We have several different videos like that. Very good. It's very good. I mean, it's not necessarily the type of music I would necessarily turn to on the radio station, but I got a lot of listeners that think it's catchy. So we'll go with it.
It's insidiously catchy.
Yeah, it is.
And that the way every good pop song is.
This is the type of thing that drives our enemy nuts. They can't really do anything about it. It's just smacking them in the face over and over again with a consistent message. Because if you lose control of the message in any of our society, in fact, any society built by white people, it doesn't even matter if it's a dictatorship. If you lose control of the message, you lose everything. That's what we've seen. Our race was never, ever lost with a gunfight or anything like that. We lost control of the message. And what we're doing at Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, WhitakerOnline.org, and WhiteRabbitRadio.net is simply a study in regaining control of the message. And that happens culture-wide.
I've seen, too, that humor has a tendency to drop people's guard against receiving a message. And I wonder if there has been any attempt to do that in your podcast.
Yeah, it's very fast moving. It's very humor oriented. We make fun of the enemy all the time. In the first animation, it's really making fun of the left wing. It's really embarrassing from the scenes I've seen. It comes out as good as it should. They won't like it. It's really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable, but it's not. In fact, it'll probably be controversial, maybe even to some white nationalists that won't understand what we're doing at first. But we're making fun of an enemy. Making fun of an enemy is they can't handle that. They want to be taken so seriously, and they're just plain silly. They're genocidal freaks, basically.
So, Horace, tell me, what do you think the end game is? What are your goals? What are you trying to do?
Oh, I don't really. My job was just to get out a message, and I will continue doing that by any means necessary, legally, of course. Now, once every white kid in Western civilization hears the message, we'll come up with some different ideals. I don't really worry about that. I just worry about my own little particular function, and many believe that's why it's been so successful. I don't get involved in all that. I figure some brilliant white nationalist will have some total dynamic plan for the universe or something. I don't worry about all that. I just worry about getting out a message, so I don't have one. I'm not worried about developing one. I'm quite certain. I know our enemy is preparing to go for their New World Order, the vaunted New World Order. I used to think this type of thing was black helicopter conspiracy joke type thing. They're getting ready to go for something quite big, and I think they're going to fall on their face. And we're at the foreground of fighting it with a consistent message, which is the only game going right now, you know, it's in this particular society and as Western, actually as the planet. is geared. If you're looking to fight the system in China, you're going to have to do so with propaganda and a consistent message and some way with the internet. So we're not doing anything different than anyone else in some other societies. We're just doing it from a different perspective. The New World Order always goes toward white rabbit genocide. It always goes to our death, either by some perverted means or not, you know. What they're trying to do is obviously create a blended humanity in only white countries, which is kind of odd. It's kind of exotic. But that's what they've been geared up to try to do. Well, the whole entire intentions of our enemies, I get into speculating on that in Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, answering questions. I don't really know that. Like I say in the about, it's a very exotic thing. The Emperor of China doesn't try to create a blended humanity in only China. He might whack some Chinese, but that's a very exotic thing. We have a very, very interesting enemy, who's basically trying to create a blended humanity. I mean, every position they argue always leads us to a world without any white people. Or white people get blended out of existence, which is the same thing. Every policy they put in place in the past 50 to 70 years would lead to a world without any white people. But no one ever really calls them out on that. That's genocide.
Right. Who else besides Bob Whitaker on the scene today, in your opinion, is worth following? You know, when you go around the internet on your daily blog search, who are you reading?
I read mostly I got a podcast to put out all the time these days, so I'm doing mainstream news sources and looking at the news from a radical different perspective. I was just on the David Duke show on Rinse Radio, and I've been on there now, I think, four times. David is very, very well read, very, very much out there. Bob is pretty much the first go-to. Amarin, if I'm interested in what's going on as far as actual real news of what's going on, let's say like this big crime, this big dilemma going on in Florida between this half Hispanic, half white shooter and this black kid, I'll go to Amarin to find out the truth on that. I basically just go down my blog roll, if you can believe that. Occidental Descent. I should have Countercurrents on there now. I have a whole roll down my blog roll I go to once a week. Incogman.net always has some funny, humorous articles about the Jews. You can go down my blog roll, whiterabbitradio.net, and see all the different things I read. I peruse them all the time. Political Cesspool has an interesting blog. That's basically it for the particular white side of the equation. But there's a whole list on my blog roll, and I go down them at least once a week.
Okay, well, that's great. I'll definitely check that out. I'm always looking for new sources of information.
You said earlier that you were able to place an ad on Rents.com. How difficult was
Very
that?
Very difficult. Most of the what I did was something radically different than what most would do. I hired a public relations firm. and I didn't hire them directly. I just said I'm a fast growing website and I got a hold of a few that handle internet advertising, and I wanted advice on how to get through the alternative news and research, because the ads are expensive and they don't take just any inquiry seriously for some reason. And so basically, the one particular individual picked up and said, yeah, we'll take it for free and place your particular ads where you want them. And they tried several different websites that said, no way. But Rents said, Rents is at the foreground, has always been the foreground of anti-Zionism, and they like that pink rabbit. If you go to rentsradio.com, you're going to see a blinking pink rabbit. It says down with pink rabbit, and it blinks to my site. We also have rotationals on rents.com directly, and we're on a waiting list for other ads on rents.com. But basically, we went through a third party that deals with Rents, and they got it on there, and they never haven't had a problem with it. They don't have a problem. It's a obviously the site is controversial. You know, we're taking basically, if you look at our t-shirt, you're looking at the stuff we're doing. We're taking something that almost looks mainstream and attaching it to a very radical message.
How expensive was it in the end for all this?
We have subscribers and we've used it. It's expensive. Rotational ads aren't that bad. $850 maybe for 4 months, and we cut a better deal than that. Direct ads can start at $500 a month. Direct hard links like on Rents Radio and go all the way up to 8 and 10,000 a month, but the ads definitely work. We also have ads on Don and Derek Black's radio show. We're going to have a direct link ad on the front of Stormfront. We were basically going down. We have an ad on incogman.net, which isn't all that expensive. He's a very good deal. We look down any avenue that'll let us put up an ad, and we pay for them. as long as it's a good deal based on the price, based on the traffic. Most of our new traffic is not coming from white nationalism, only about half. Most of our new subscribers and whatnot are coming directly from alternative news and research, which is where we want to be. Infowars.com is the famous Alex Jones site. They wouldn't talk to us. They won't let us anywhere near their stuff. But you know, it's just hit or miss. You got to try. You got to try.
What's your next project that you're working on? You mentioned animation.
We have a huge, somewhere around 10-minute animation with original music and everything coming out. It's going to be a shocker. It's very mainstream, but the questions it's going to evoke in the average white viewer, the target audience, it's a reality-based. You know, most of the stuff I deal with on WhiteRabbitRadio.net is all fantasy-based, but this is a reality-based animation. I have die deals for fantasy-based and reality-based. This is a reality-based. It is a big production. It's going to be very over the top, and it'll be coming to my website probably sometime after Easter. Right now, it's in the animation stage. All the scripts are done. All the basically the sound part is recorded and everything. We are in the animation stage. It's just very, very time consuming. Animation is a lot of work, actually. And it looks to be, potential to be a blockbuster, basically. We've got all our different channels ready to carry it. It's going to evoke a response. No doubt about that. From the audience. We're basically taking two major lines of programming. Everyone white on this planet has been programmed to believe one thing. We don't fight it. And then they've also been and experienced something implicitly in their life. They've experienced some type of programming. And we basically take these two things that aren't connected and connect them violently. It's very over the top, and it's based on historical facts, somewhat a fact of history that our enemy always deals with. You'll have to see it. You'll have to see it. That's our first production. Our second production is on Israel, which will be even more controversial. But that's what we're doing.
I'm curious as to your thoughts on the success of the Kony 2012 video.
I think what's going on among the Anglo-American elite, Jew and Gentile alike, when I talk about that, I'm talking about the English-speaking world. They basically control the English-speaking world, and they have inroads in Belgium and Germany, and obviously they're at war with Russia on any given morning. But there's a big problem, and China's taking over Africa. And so AFRICOM is there. They have quote unquote Al-Qaeda moving into AFRICOM, and they brought out this huge propaganda piece, Kony 2012, because they want to continue to put Marines on the ground. There's Marines on the ground in Africa. They want to keep inserting them. There's a problem with China. Our enemy at the top is trying to pull some moves on China, and they're trying to cut off their natural resources. And their big line to natural resources is obviously Africa, if they don't want to take whole parts of Africa by themselves. But Kony 2012 is a propaganda attempt to justify putting more and more troops on the ground in Africa and AFRICOM, and it's a pretty good propaganda attempt. The problem is, when it comes to alternative news and research, when it comes to the different media, everyone's become so skeptical, they know there's an agenda here. They don't buy into it all. So it's kind of interesting. But that's what's going on in my mind. To my listeners, that's my opinion. It's a brilliant piece of propaganda because it had so many hits, but there's some interesting parties and moves behind it, and it has to do with China in Africa and the Anglo-American elite, Jew and Gentile-like, moves against China in Africa. And they're using Al-Qaeda and the Kony 2012 as a cover for military, getting more and more military there. You know, there's always a big problem in Africa that you could do some big heart-rendering film on.
Well, I think that pretty much covers it. Horace, thank you very much for being with us and answering some questions. What's that URL again?
WhiteRabbitRadio.net.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for having me on the show.
Countercurrents Radio is the voice of Countercurrents Publishing and the North American New Right. Visit us at www.countercurrents.com. That's counter-currents.com.